You're listening to a special ICANN audio briefing explaining the current studies and analysis of the Who Is service. I'm Scott Pinzon, Director of Policy Communications for ICANN, and the following interview occurred on March 24, 2010. I'm speaking with Steve Shang, Senior Technical Analyst on ICANN's policy team. We recorded the interview at ICANN's headquarters in Marina del Rey, California, so you might hear some office sounds in the background. Now let's join the interview, already in progress. Can you define for our audience what WHOIS is?
Sure. Every year there are millions of registrants. So these include individuals, organizations, and other entities. They register domain names to share their information via the internet. So during that registration process, they are required to provide some information, for example, the name of the registrant and the contact information of the registrant, the name servers of the domain. So WHOIS service is essentially a public online access to this information, which we often refer to as the WHOIS data.
Okay, and so is that also sometimes called registration data?
Yes, yes.
All right.
So according to the registrar accreditation agreement, there are 8 data items on the WHOIS data.
Now, there's a notion of thick WHOIS and thin WHOIS. Does that relate to how many of those data points there are?
So thick WHOIS and thin WHOIS relates to how aware that information is stored. A thin registry, for example, the .com, it only stores the technical information about a domain. Whereas thick registries, for example, the .org, they store the technical and the personal information of a registrant.
Oh, like administrative contact?
Right.
The topic of WHOIS and different issues around WHOIS have been debated and discussed and considered and pondered around ICANN for something like 10 years. Mm-hmm. What makes WHOIS such a tough topic to contemplate?
Yeah, that's an important question. So one of the reasons of this is there are competing legitimate concerns of WHOIS. So one of those examples is access versus privacy. Unrestricted online access to WHOIS contact information has caused concerns among privacy advocates.
So when you use the term access, you're talking about who can access all this contact information and,
right,
and technical data about a certain domain name's registrant.
Right, right. So for now, the privacy advocates, want to restrict those access. So there have been proposals put forth in the past about this. But on the other hand, also legitimate concerns is, for example, law enforcement agencies. They want to have access to those information, and they don't want their access to be limited. And sometimes in the WHOIS debate, both legitimate concerns could not reach a consensus on some of the issues. So take, for example, the privacy and proxy services. What I mean by privacy and proxy services is sometimes registrars offer the service instead of putting your contact information, your email address, your address, they put, for example, privacy at register.com. So your information won't be disclosed. Many think this enhances the privacy and is a good business model. However, the U.S. government and certain intellectual property interests say that the privacy and proxy service will slow or even in some instances thwart the law enforcement. In fact, the privacy and proxy services is prohibited in the .us registry.
Yeah. And yet there are also some legitimate uses of it.
Yeah, certainly. I'm a user of a privacy service because I'm concerned that my information could be used by spammers and send me, unsolicited spams.
Yeah, great example. There's two competing views with legitimate claims. One wants to fight crime. One wants to prevent themselves from being exploited.
Right. That's a great point. And currently, some of the policy work that the generic name supporting organization is considering is to provide some hard-based evidence, basically some facts to ground the debate. So for example, there are concerns for WHOIS being misused to send spam So one of the issues is, well, let's do a study to see how much it's been exploited.
I see. Yeah, it's pretty hard to prove when you got a spam email. That's because I registered with Whois. You can't really prove that.
Yeah, that's a challenge.
So what we're seeing is there are opposing views that both have a certain validity to them. Mm-hmm. So we're still addressing why talking about Whois has taken so long.
Mm-hmm. So another issue that is very complex is the accuracy.
Of the registration data?
The accuracy of the registration data. So in certain respect, the usefulness of Whois depends on how accurate the information is, right? In the current requirement, registrars are required to investigate upon notice of inaccurate Whois information. And the ICANN compliance department sometimes conduct these accuracy studies. So in fact, recently, the compliance department has commissioned a report specifically on this area as well.
That would be great to see. I know at the abuse of the DNS forum that mm-hmm. was at the ICANN International meeting in Seoul, mm-hmm. presenters showed that if you want to know what Mickey Mouse, Winnie the Pooh, and Osama bin Laden have in common, they all have registered websites in Whois. So the accuracy could be questioned.
Right, right.
Something else looming on the horizon here is that everybody in the world wants to use Whois. It's
right.
a global mm-hmm. System. Historically, it started out just using Western scripts and characters. Mm-hmm. Is that still the case ongoing?
Right. So we are seeing some changes to that. One of that is there's the introduction of internationalized domain names. So where you can register the top-level domains that are in your local scripts, for example, in Chinese or Japanese. And there's also currently the Whois data also becoming more internationalized. So for example, we know in some CCTLDs, they allow registrants to put their contact information in their local language. So obviously, you know, there are 200 or so countries, and there are many, many languages.
And so here's the trick question. Which RFC or internet standard determines how Whois registration data is entered?
Well, currently there is none. This poses several challenges to Whois. From a technical level, the protocol level, the current Whois protocol does not know what encoding your submission is. If you submit a Whois query, for example, an IDN domain in Chinese, the Whois server may not know what domain are you're looking for, because you cannot specify the encoding in that. Mm. That's a technical challenge. From the operational and policy perspective, you have another challenge. What do you require for internationalized registration data? Do I just allow users to enter their registration data in whatever language they prefer and display them in Whois? This will raise a Babel effect.
By Babel effect, are you referring back to the biblical story where they were trying to build a gigantic tower, and in the end they could not because all their languages were scrambled?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm a registrant in country A who wished to contact and register in country B, but I don't know the language of country B. But the Whois information is in country B's language. So that could potentially reduce the usability of Whois.
You've given us some great perspective on some of the complexities and little of the history, but what is going on with Whois currently in ICANN's policy development processes?
The GNSO Council is considering a couple of fact-finding studies for Whois policy deliberations. So there are four of those studies. So the first study is basically to find out to the extent that Whois information is misused. The second study is termed Whois Registrant Identification Study. This is to gather information about how business or commercial domain registrants are identified in Whois and correlate such identification with the use of proxy and privacy services. So the third study area is called the Proxy and Privacy Abuse and Review Studies. And this is to test whether there's a relationship exists between the use of proxies and harmful and illegal activities, and whether or not the use of proxy service slows down the information requests. So the fourth study area is to examine the impact of non-ASCII registration information on the accuracy and readability of Whois.
So that's the internationalized registration data
right.
we're just talking about.
Right. So in fact, there's a working group on this issue, and you know, study other related areas regards to the internationalized registration data.
But I find myself a little awestruck by the scope of what such a study would require. For example, you said the first study is let's find out if WHOIS is being misused. Mm-hmm. That sounds easy to say, but how would you even undertake that? What would you study, or how would you know?
Well, that's exactly a challenge. The approach we've taken is an RFP approach, request for proposals. We ask researchers to submit proposals on how they are going to study this. So for example, for the misuse studies, so one way we can do is kind of a controlled experiment. We register, let's say, 10 domains, and I put some email address on them. And this email address is only available in the WHOIS. I did not publish it anywhere else on the web.
In effect, it's made up just for the study.
Right, but I am able to receive email in that email address.
Sure.
What then the researcher want to do is, for example, in a period of 3 months, I want to monitor how many spam I receive on that domain.
Makes sense.
That could be one approach. But, you know, I do recognize this. The studies could be difficult.
So as we mentioned at the top, there is a long history in ICANN of debate and study and contemplation of WHOIS. So as we're trying to move ahead, is there some way that we could make use of all this history of study and thought?
There is a recognition in the community that the current WHOIS service might decrease in its reliability and usefulness over time.
You said decrease.
Yes.
Okay.
Decrease. So recognizing these concerns, the GNSO Council asked the staff to compile a comprehensive set of requirements for WHOIS that includes the known deficiencies and also any possible requirements that may be needed to support various past policy initiatives. So essentially, going forward, if you want to improve WHOIS from a technical perspective, what are the capabilities that needs to be built in for it?
Wow, that's pretty all-encompassing. So it's looking back at the past of what has been suggested and then taking the best of knowledge we have now, projecting what else might be needed.
Yeah, it's also forward-looking as well.
That paper's going to come out in a year, 2 years?
Well, in fact, that paper is going to come out this month, by the end of the March.
Fantastic.
If you are interested, I recommend you go to the ICANN website and read about it.
Can you give us a sneak preview? I'm curious of the forward-looking part of maybe a requirement that your analysts have come up with that we haven't heard a whole lot about before.
Sure. So one example of that is a mechanism to find authoritative WHOIS servers. Today, for each registry and for thin registries, each registrar maintains its own WHOIS server. However, there's no easy way to find out who that the domain and IP address for that WHOIS server as well.
Oh, I see where you're going. There isn't like one big central WHOIS server that serves the world. This is a highly distributed technology.
Right, exactly. That's actually a very important point. Many people think WHOIS as a single database, but in fact, it's not. You know, it's hundreds of databases of registrar information maintained by registrars and registries. You know, we want to specify in a way that a WHOIS client or user can easily find those information. So that's, you know, one potential requirement. Another requirement would be a well-defined schema for replies. Currently today, each WHOIS servers, you know, there's no standard for it, and they may return their result in different formats. And the term they use is not consistent across. You know, you have different meanings.
Can you give me an example?
So an example, the update date.
There's a field that says update, and you're supposed to put a date in it.
Yeah, and it's not clear, you know, how registrars are handling, you know, what kind of information they put on that date consistently.
Okay.
Across registrars. So a potential requirement would be, you know, we want to have a well-defined schema for the reply.
Okay.
So this is both helpful for humans, so they know, you know, the consistency of the terms to expect, and also in some cases for legitimate automated use of the WHOIS as well. Those are some of the things that are in this report.
Thank you for giving us a sneak preview of some of the highlights and what to expect there. A link to the paper is right next to this audio briefing on the ICANN site. So go to ICANN.org, look for the e-learning tab, follow it to the audio briefings page and you'll find the paper that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing with us what's going on with Who Is, Steve.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine, Scott.
If you have questions or comments about this briefing, we watch for your input with great interest at the email address start@icann.org.
This program was produced in 2010 under a Creative Commons license. Some rights reserved by the Internet Corporation for assigned names and numbers. ICANN. One world, one Internet, everyone connected.